Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Good morning, Eagles Nation. Another week closer to the football season. Day 4 of training camp coming up today. Just me right now. I will give all of you guys the update on what the content's going to be like today, tomorrow, for the rest of the week. I want to welcome everybody in. Another beautiful week here, a Monday morning. Eagles were at practice on Saturday. They had their first day off yesterday on Sunday, so we had no shows yesterday, but a great recap on Saturday. A lot coming out, everybody. A lot of good news coming out of Eagle camp. If you're an Eagle fan, this has been a good training camp so far. Everybody seems locked in. Everybody seems ready for the season. There are some good names making some headlines. There are some good names seemingly stepping up. And some good stuff there. Let me welcome everybody in before I give you guys a rundown of what's going on. Devontae, what's up, brother? Suplex City, what's up, Suplex? Rashid Mixon in here. What's up, Rashid? Ryan, Jeff Martin, Terrence, Joseph Smith, Jeff Martin, Mike Fittery, Eduardo, Tyler Braswell, Jimmy Wen. What's up, Jimmy? Twiz the Jigar, man. Twiz is in here. Craig and Dill Lock. What's up, everybody? Stratus. Appreciate all of you guys being here. So the rundown today is a little bit more difficult than it has been in the past. I have a full hour show, so we'll do a full hour show to this morning, 8 to 9 a.m. John McMullen will join at around 8:15, so coming up in around 10, 11 minutes. We'll talk to him from the car, so he's driving down to NovaCare. And then part two of Birds 365 will be at noon today after the Eagles practice. So the dilemma today is that Johnny Mack is busy tonight. He has some personal matters to deal with tonight. All good. He's healthy and everything, so no need to worry about him. But he has some things tonight, so we could not do a nighttime show today. So I wanted to give you guys the hour fix, talk about the weekend, talk about what we've seen so far in the first 3 days of practice, and then kind of preview with John when he joins what to expect today. Nick Sirianni is set to speak this morning at 9:40. Practice at 10 a.m. So everything is going to ramp back up. And then we have an exciting week, everybody. Thursday, I believe. Yeah, Thursday is the open practice down at the link. Is anybody going to the link? I'd love to hear from you guys in the chat if any of you are going down to the link this week for the open practice. That should be pretty good. And then we're creeping up, everybody. I mean, by the end of the week, we're going to be in August. When you're in August, it's like football season is here. So I'm very jacked up. I'm excited to go. Before I bring Johnny Mack in around 10 minutes, I'm going to run through some of the stuff that we talked about on Saturday. Saturday seemed like another great day. Very exciting, everybody. Jalen Hurts is having a great training camp. Everybody is reporting it. Johnny Mack, who is our eyes and ears down at the camp, has been saying how good, how strong, how crisp, accurate Jalen Hurts looks. So that's very positive developments coming off of OTAs where Hurts was still finding his rhythm and wasn't slicing and dicing like he is right now in training camp. So some very good stuff from quarterback one, arguably the most important, but not arguably, he is the most important player on the team. So to hear that he's having a good camp is a very positive thing. Offense overall, really good. You're seeing some guys step up to try and vie for that wide receiver three spot. Britton Covey getting some reps. So good stuff there. Johnny Ross apparently has looked pretty good, and so has Paris Campbell. So we'll see how that spot breaks. And then, you know, at tight end, Grant Calcaterra has been your number two. And coming into camp, we kind of thought it was going to be CJ Uzama, you know, who's had a lot of experience in this league. And we thought he would take the snaps there at tight end too. Kellen Moore using a lot of 12 personnel, but it's been all Grant Calcaterra there at tight end too. So rumors are he looks significantly improved. Zach Bond, I think that storyline is interesting, right, guys? I mean, you come into camp and you're like, all right, Devin White, most likely N'Kobe Dean. Now, maybe it's N'Kobe ramping up still coming off that foot injury, but, you know, Zach Bond's been getting a ton of reps at that first-team linebacker, so it's clear that Vic Fangio is a fan. Speaking of Vic Fangio, what a week he had. I mean, he only spoke once, but boy, he made some headlines. A lot of people are more confident in him after hearing him. I'm a straightforward type of guy. Maybe sometimes too straightforward to the people I communicate with on a daily basis, but I love hearing Vic Fangio, guys. I mean, when I hear him and I'm like, this is a no bullshit guy. This is a guy that's not playing politics. This is a guy that's not playing coaching. He is just out there coaching defense. And he is going to look at his defense, analyze it, and pick the best players. And it's great to have that that we have that on our roster. So some really good stuff there. Looking back at my notes, a lot stood out, though, you know, through week one. I'll be curious. I'd like to hear from you guys in the chat as well. A lot of great viewers this morning. For anybody listening to the podcast, we appreciate you listening to the audio. Make sure you leave a review on your podcast. And if you're here on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever you're consuming this content, drop a like, drop a comment. I've been trying to get back to all of them, even in the comments after, just because I love hearing your guys' thoughts. You guys add to my perspective, so I appreciate that very much. But, you know, the one interesting thing so far, too, is the cornerback room. You know, the cornerback room, I kind of thought there would be more developments by this point. It seems like Vic is throwing a lot out there. I mean, Keely Ringo is getting a lot of first-team reps. Isaiah Rogers is getting first-team reps. Quinyon Mitchell, wait, stop. The Quinyon Mitchell reports are some of the most exciting reports coming out of camp so far. Quinyon Mitchell is playing all over the defensive secondary. He's right corner. He's left corner. He's slot. John says he looks comfortable everywhere. Vic Fangio seems to be throwing a lot at him, and it's working well. Habibi saying I have no sound. Am I good, everybody? Everybody hear me? I think y'all hear me. I mean, you guys are responding to some of the things I'm saying. All right, so hopefully, Habibi, maybe turn up your volume, or you might be having an issue on your end. Sorry if you guys can't hear me. But anyway, great camp so far. It seems like everything is working well. For the setup today, 9:40 a.m., Nick Sirianni will speak. So 9:40 a.m., expect to hear from head coach Nick Sirianni, and then 10 a.m., back on the practice field, and then post-practice, there will be some player press conferences as well. So remember, guys, just an hour show this morning. Noon today, I'm going to do part two of Birds 365. It's not going to be John McMullen. He is going to be down there, and he has a something tonight personally that he's doing, so we can't do a night show tonight. So I'm going to be doing part two of Birds 365, a recap to day four of practice. So I'm going to be following along. I will have a chance to talk to John after practice just to say, hey, I'm doing a show. What stuck out? You know, what do I need to know from today's practice? Because I'm obviously not down there. I'm not trying to tell you guys I'm down there. I'm consuming everything like you guys are, but I will talk to John and see, you know, what he has to say about the practice today. So coming up, like I said, 9:40, Nick Sirianni press conference, 10 a.m. practice, and we will follow along on all of that. A couple of guys who I think, you know, not to be negative, but to go on the other side, maybe guys who haven't quite stuck out yet, or maybe you could argue stock down, not doing as good as we would hope, would be, I'd say, Tyler Steen. Haven't heard anything from him yet. Now, they don't have pads on, remember. So, you know, you can't make too much of it, but he's going to miss a few days of practice. He has an ankle injury. This is a guy who hasn't quite secured the right guard spot, and now he's going to be out with an injury. So we'll see how he continues to develop, but, you know, keep your eye on that position. I'm not sold yet that he will be our right guard all season long. Hopefully he is. Hopefully he has a good year, but I'm not sold on that yet. So let's keep our eye on that. We'll see how that position develops. The other guy who I think is stocked down is Anais Smith. I mean, you're hearing a lot of reports. He's dropping a lot of balls, dropped a few punts, no impact basically in practice. I think this was a guy that when he was drafted, you know, a lot of people were expecting him to have a chance at that wide receiver three spot, and he has not really made an impact. So hopefully he can continue to develop and get better and improve. And you know, maybe it's just he is a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick. I think he's fifth. And Johnny Wilson was the sixth. But yeah, so we'll see, you know, how he develops. But those are really the only two. There's a couple other guys, maybe you could argue, that haven't been great, but nobody of importance other than I would argue those two. Makai Becton's been great. So a lot of good stuff coming out of practice, everybody. I'm going to go over to the chat now and see what you guys are talking about. Philly Birds and Bears says, what's Sweat looking like? What's up, Philly Birds and Bears? Appreciate you being here, brother. Not much on Sweat. I think he's been looking pretty good, but we're waiting kind of on the defensive line to get the pads on. John did say the defensive line had a good day on Saturday, so I think that's a positive. The offense won the day, but the D-line, who is going to be the most important part of that defense, had a good day. So good stuff there. We'll see, you know, how that plays out, what goes on there. Joseph Smith said Jalix Hunt had a good practice. Yeah, Joe Smith, thanks for being here, brother. Jalix Hunt had a great practice one. That was where you heard that he was, you know, he got around Jordan Mailata. This is a developmental player who really hasn't been an edge rusher all that long. Got around Jordan Mailata. So that's pretty good stuff. Crowley, what's up, Crowley? Checking in, man. Sorry, I think I might have missed you in my open this morning. Appreciate you being here. Crowley checking in. He says, I can't believe people were saying Quinyon wasn't ready. He looks and sounds pretty ready to me by what reporters who are watching the practices are reporting. No doubt, Crowley. I've had some conversations on air with John McMullen and off air about Quinyon Mitchell. It seems like we have nothing to worry about, folks. Like, I know everybody was like, oh, Terrion Arnold, and he went two positions after. We're going to be comparing the two. I think it's a position of, you know, even if Terrion Arnold is great, I think we're going to be very happy with who we have here in Quinyon Mitchell. Apparently, he has looked very good, very smart, picking up all the things on defenses. Vic's moving them all around, so very positive stuff from Quinyon Mitchell, who, you know, it's our first-round pick this year. That's our most important guy out of the draft, obviously, coming into the year. So, you know, one more. Let me mention stock down, by the way, going off of that. The other stock down would have to be Cooper DeJean, guys. I mean, look, I'm hopeful that Cooper DeJean is a great player here in Philly for a long time, but when you get hurt, you know, and you're out for 3 weeks at the start of training camp, you don't even have a chance to get out there to see Vic's defense, to be in it, to have Vic see how you play. That's tough. That's a tough hit. So that is definitely a stock down for Cooper DeJean. Hopefully he can bounce back strong. Everybody else in here, I'm going to go to some of your guys' comments. Appreciate all of them. Devin Shanahan says, is this the most successful offseason in the Sirianni era, even over the A.J. Brown season? It's tough to go there, Devin, because I think the offseason is a lot more than just training camp. I think it's the draft, and it's free agency, and it's who you lost. And, you know, when you lose Jason Kelce, obviously these aren't things that we did. This is things you couldn't really control, not even how he could control. You lose Kelce, you lose Cox. You know, those are tough losses. So I do think we had a good acquisition season. I thought our draft was very good. I liked some of what Howie did. I thought he would have done maybe a little bit more to replace some of those guys and make a splash on defense, but he didn't. He went young in the draft, and we're hopeful that these guys all pan out. So we'll see how all that works out. Anybody else in the chat? Say Quad's joining. What's up, brother? We appreciate you being here. Dank Bird Gang checking in. What's up, man? He says, I don't think it's that big of an issue with DeJean. He's missing one game. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's not like a huge issue. He's not missing half the season or the full year. But what I would argue is that he's missing one game, but he's missing this time where you're ramping up as a player. You're ramping up Vic Fangio's defense. Vic is getting his looks like, who is going to be my first team guys? Who's going to be my rotational pieces? And when you're not on the field, you know, out of sight, out of mind, Dank. And that's the worry with Cooper DeJean is that he's out of sight. He's not going to be able to get his reps. Remember, he's a rookie. This isn't a second or third year player who's coming into camp knowing how this works, right? This is all new to him. And I think it's definitely a big hit, you know, for him to be out for those first 3 weeks. Screwface checking in. What's up, Screw? He says, good morning, Xander. More excited for tomorrow when they put the pads on. I'm waiting for the reports of confirmation. That's when the pads are coming on. Maybe you got it on Twitter. I haven't been on, obviously, since I started the show. But let me go over there and check, make sure I'm not missing anything for you guys. Yeah, pads are coming on soon. It's this week. I just don't know if it's today, tomorrow, and when exactly they're coming. But you're right. We're going to learn a lot more once those pads go on. How about Nick Wright, by the way? I saw this all over my social media feed, and it just popped up. And let me just address it. Nick Wright says, I don't think he's going to be a difference maker for the Eagles. Nick Wright talking about Saquon Barkley. Nick Wright is a clown. He seems to me like a guy that just wants to say anything to stoke the fan base. And from a media perspective, from a guy who runs a media company, from a guy who, you know, makes posts on YouTube, I understand it, but I don't have to respect it. And I understand what he's doing, and I understand that he's trying to keep a job and in a competitive field on FS1, but that's just a stupid comment. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a difference-making player. You could argue how much, but dumb comment by Nick Wright. Just wanted to address that because I saw that on my social media feed a lot, but the much things that are standing out to me, like I said, are Quinyon Mitchell. I think the Zach Bond thing is interesting, where Zach Bond is just continues to get these first team reps. So we'll see how he plays out. I should be joined by John McMullen shortly. John McMullen in the green room. So let me go to John now. Zach, do I have you?
Yeah, you got me.
I got you. You sound good, John. Make sure you drive safe. Stay focused on the road. I don't want to distract you too much. Thanks for joining in, John. We wrapped up our first 3 days of camp practice. We're heading down there. You're heading down there for day four now. What is on the agenda today for day four for the Eagles? What to expect down there from the Eagles at training camp today?
You want to see continued consistency, obviously, from the offense. I think that's been the most impressive part of training camp thus far. And, you know, the other side of that coin, because – you're practicing against each other. You want to see a little bit more from that defensive side as far as, you know, making some plays, maybe getting off the field. The completion percentages are absurd, and it's not just Jalen Hurts. Obviously, that's been most of the focus, but, you know, Kenny Pickett is having a good camp when it comes to completions. Tanner McKee's been, when you talk about the third string, he's been up in the 80-plus percent range when it comes to completing passes. So, you know, we've seen this before with this scheme. I would say, you know, if you use Elliott's numbers, he's got like 85% completion percentage for the Eagles offense. I would say it's 90-plus percent lining up in two deep split safeties at the start of the snap. So, you know, the positive is the Eagles are taking what Vic Fangio and the defense is giving them, a lot of underneath stuff, more swing stuff to the backs that everybody's excited about. The negative is they're giving up these massive completion percentages, which was the people complained about with Jonathan Gannon. Same scheme. They're willing to give up the underneath stuff. So, depends how you look at it. Positive for the offense, maybe a little bit of a negative for the defense.
Yeah, John, the two things I pointed out on offense are obviously it's great to hear that Jalen Hurts has been having a very strong camp by all accounts so far. So that's good to hear. But on the defensive side, John, just going back on what we've heard so far, obviously, like you said, we want to see them continue to make strides going forward here in camp. But I think Quinyon Mitchell, John, he's the story to me right now coming out of camp. Obviously, our first-round draft pick, a guy who everybody is expecting is going to be a great player. The pressure will be on him, as you see how Tarion Arnold was drafted right after him. But really seems like we have a good player here in Quinyon Mitchell. Just walk us through what you've seen so far from him. And if you're feeling good about as good about Quinyon Mitchell as I am from a player perspective.
Yeah, Quinyon's been great, and they've thrown so much at him. And Vic has said that's what he likes to do and see how much he can handle. And that's been the most impressive part. He's gotten reps at all three corner positions. He's gotten reps inside in the dime looks. So he's been all over the field, left corner, right corner slot, essentially de facto second linebacker. So he's been and he hasn't looked out of like a fish out of water. He hasn't looked overwhelmed. He hasn't, you know, been hesitant despite, you know, he might be at left corner on one snap. He might be in the slot in the next. And he hasn't, typically rookies are going to get hesitant when you give them that much and put that much on the on their plate. Hasn't been the case with Quinyon Mitchell. And I think that's number one. That's the most impressive part. And then second, he's good. You know, it's one thing to be a smart player, savvy player, to have sort of natural zone abilities. He played a lot of off coverage in college. It's another to have the traits to be a top tier corner in the NFL when it comes to, you know, recovery speed, length and things like that. So all positive on Quinyon Mitchell. And like I said on our Saturday show, I think it was notable the first time they did one-on-ones between the defensive backs and the secondary guys, the defensive backs and the receivers. They matched him up with A.J. Brown twice. I don't think that was just a rotational thing. I think they did that on purpose. And he held up against A.J. really well once, and he lost the other one, but that's fine. That's an all-pro player. I think, you know, it's another example of the Eagles want to see what they have in Quinyon Mitchell, and it's been all good early in camp.
Yeah, great to hear from Quinyon Mitchell. And by the way, you mentioned A.J. Brown beat him once. John, I think you could take any single cornerback in the league, regardless of how many years, how much experience, how high of a caliber of player they are, and A.J. Brown will beat them if you line him up one-on-one here and there. So not a problem at all that he was beat, but I think it's a very positive thing that he stuck with him once. I think that's a bigger feat than getting beat by A.J. Brown. But great to hear from Quinyon Mitchell. Johnny Mac, anything else that stuck out to you so far? I know we did a lot of recaps. We've talked about most of it, but I just was previewing kind of what was going on so far in camp. He was the big storyline on defense to me. And then I kind of said Zach Bond because I was surprised to hear him continue to get those first team reps. You're not going to learn much about the defensive line just yet until the pads come on, but anything else sticking out in the defensive side of the ball that we haven't talked about?
I mean, you know, some of the softness of the coverage has been, as I said, it's been notable. Now, you might point to all the moving parts, and Vic is rotating people in and out, and a bunch of guys are getting first-team reps, both at cornerback and linebacker, as he tries to figure out what his best options are for certain situations. So as that, you know, gets boiled down to where it's going to be, I assume it's going to get a little bit better. But right now, the Eagles are completing passes at will. And that's, you know, that's not a positive from the defensive side. And I think there's been this default setting that, okay, you know, they're going to be fine at one linebacker spot. I don't know if they're going to be fine at any linebacker spot. And pass coverage is a big part of that. I do think they have talent at corner, but, you know, I talked about it. If you want to go all the way back to day one and Paris Campbell with these just violent comeback routes on the young corners, and they weren't ready for them. And they haven't seen that kind of stuff. Even playing, you know, at a high college level, you don't see it. like you see at the NFL. And you talked about AJ, you know, it's a difficult position to play because you'll see it on social media all the time. You get beat once and you're called trash and this and that. Everybody gets beat at cornerback in the NFL. It's a passing league. Almost everybody's got great receivers. It's really difficult, and the consistency to do it, there's going to be some hiccups with these young corners, and that goes all the way up to Isaiah Rodgers, who's more of a veteran player but still young. They're not finished products, so anybody who thinks they are and there's not going to be some trouble spots is probably being a little bit too optimistic.
Johnny Mack, coming into camp, one of the biggest storylines, and you just were talking about it, so let's go there. Let's continue to break that down really quick, is the cornerback room and just the way it's going to shake out, right, with all the young bodies. Who's going to start opposite Slay? Who's going to be in the slot? You talked about Quinyon Mitchell. Do you have any inkling? This isn't a report. This is more of a Johnny Mack opinion on what you've seen so far and how you think it's going to play out. Who's going to be the cornerbacks, the three cornerbacks on this roster next to Derek? I think it's going to be Slay, but is it Quinyon on the outside and Isaiah on the inside? Is it Maddox on the inside? From what you've seen so far, are you leaning any certain direction on who will make up the cornerback room?
No, it's way too early, but I am leaning Quinyon's going to be on the field week one. It might be at right corner, might be in the slot, but I think we're trending in that direction. As long as he stays healthy and keeps progressing the way he is, I think that's the most notable. But as I said, it might be inside instead of Avante Maddox. It might be outside of right corner. I think we're trending in that direction. And a lot of that depends on Cooper DeJean as well. When he gets back and he gets up, you know, one thing about Cooper and one thing that people like about him is his football IQ, his understanding. So maybe him missing 3 weeks is not as bad as a typical rookie missing 3 weeks. But that's for later in the camp. Vic's got a lot of stuff he's got to work out. But, I think Mitchell's going to be on the field, would be my prediction week one.
How's Keely Ringo look, Johnny Mack? I mean, he was the guy that – you and I have both been high on coming into camp. We were hopeful that he took a big step forward. The early reports on his career, by the way, his rookie year, were he wasn't a great practice player. You know, and when he got in the game, he looked pretty good. How has he looked so far at training camp?
Yeah, he's looked much better. He was. He had a bad camp last year as a rookie. Right. Really bad camp. And he's looked, you know, a lot better this time around. So things have calmed down for him, certainly from that practice perspective, and I think that is big, because if you don't practice well, I don't think you're going to get on the field with Vic Fangio. So I thought that was a key point to Keely Ringo. If he was going to be the classic game day player, I'm not sure if that was going to be a fit here. So he's been solid, and I think way too many people are paying attention to the first rep. So day one, that was Isaiah Rodgers at right corner. Day two, it was Ringo. And day three, it was Ringo again. So I saw some people speculate that was a positive for Ringo, negative for Rodgers. Maybe it was, but Vic rotates so liberally, I don't think it matters. I don't. They're both getting significant reps. And as I said, Mitchell's playing all over. You know, Eli Ricks got some first-team reps on Saturday, just to spell, you know, trying to give Darius Slay a bit of a blow here and there, put him on a pitch count. Mekhi Becton got some first-team reps at right tackle because they wanted to do the same thing for a veteran player, Lane Johnson. So that kind of stuff, when they rotate, I think, you know, the first rep, couple years ago when it was Andre Dillard versus Jordan Mailata, it was a big deal because that's how Jeff Stoutland was doing it. That's not how Vic's doing it. He's just rolling people in and rolling people out to see his best case scenarios. By the way, I'm coming up to the Walt Whitman. There's always a dead spot, so if you lose me for a second, I'll probably be right back.
Got to, you know, your safety is the priority, John. So if you have to drop for a second, that's fine. No worries there. But John, let's continue on the defense here. Go to the defensive line. I know it's tough without pads, for them. By the way, before I ask that, any update on when pads are coming on?
They're coming on early this week. They can come on as early as today, so stay tuned. We'll, you know, as soon as the players come out. Yeah, we didn't get. We have only talked to Nick once. We're going to talk to Nick today before practice, but we'll know before that. When the players start trickling out on the field, if it's not today, it's going to be Tuesday. But I didn't specifically ask them because we haven't had them in so long.
Yeah,
and right. It wasn't a big deal day one. But yeah, they're going to be on, if not today, tomorrow.
Got it. So looking for pads soon. But John, anything on the defensive line? There's obviously a lot of eyes on that room coming into the season as well, with Bryce Huff, with Nolan Smith, even Josh Sweat is getting some talk. Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. What have you seen so far from the D-line room?
Yeah, I think the defensive front as a whole, and that includes the D-linemen and the edge rushers, they've been good. That hasn't been the issue. The issue has been the back seven and trying to figure that out and trying to piece it together. And just the way the Eagles are playing, they're playing very.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Soft coverage, and that is obviously, you know, they're inviting the Eagles offense to throw it underneath, and they've done it. The offense has done it pretty effectively. So the front, you know, and again, pads will tell more when you talk about certain positions: offensive line, defensive front, linebackers, running backs, running the football. The physicality position, so to speak, we'll see a lot more, but it's certainly going to be the strength of the defense again. And, you know, they just got a bunch of good players, maybe not quite as deep as they typically are, but they're good up front, and that's not going to be the biggest concern.
Good stuff there from Johnny Mack. John, let's go to the offense real quick. I won't keep you much longer. We appreciate you doing this from the cards. Last time we'll talk to you today until tomorrow. So offense, John, to me, it's Jalen Hurts. But outside of Jalen Hurts, what else is going on in the offense? I know you saw a big day from Devontae Smith. You know, wide receiver three is the talk of the battles there. Right guard is a concern, I guess you could say, with Tyler Steen going down. What's the update on him? And then what else are you seeing on the offense?
Yeah, Tyler hurt his ankle, so he's going to miss a couple practices, couple days at least. And that's not good because you give other people a chance to open some eyes, I think. You know, the biggest surprise when Tyler went down on Saturday was Darian Kennard was the first in to replace him. And I wrote about that on Sports Illustrated. There's a lot of context to that in that, you know, if you go back to the spring, Matt Hennessy was getting the second team right guard reps, but he's been the backup center because Brett Toth is injured and he hasn't practiced yet. Mekhi Becton started camp as the left guard because Landon Dickerson was dealing with a lacerated toe. Landon was finally back on Saturday. And they put Mekhi Becton as the backup right tackle to Lane Johnson, and they didn't move him into right guard once Steen got hurt. Now, that might be because, you know, Jeff Stoutland's got a practice plan and it didn't involve Mekhi Becton, and you don't want to change it midway through. So today's going to be interesting because Tyler's not going to practice, and who they have at right guard is going to be interesting. If it's Kennard, you probably have to start thinking, oh, maybe we got to pay more attention to this guy. He's a former fifth round pick. Broke my own rule of 2022 fifth round pick of Kansas City. He's one of those futures guys Howie would talk about. They thought the undrafted class this year was going to be pretty light from a depth standpoint. So they spent way more time trying to look at other people's practice squads and find players they thought had a chance to be good developmental guys, and Kennard was one of them. So Stoutland likes him, and I think if he's starting there today, I think we got to start paying a little bit more attention to him.
Interesting that Darian Kennard is the guy who was in there, so we will be following that closely as camp continues to develop here. Johnny Mack, how about tight end two? I mean, Dallas Goedert's obviously your tight end one. I think he's looked pretty good. You said Hurts has hit him several times on time and on target. But tight end two, we were thinking CJ Uzama pre-camp. Now it really looks like Grant Calcaterra is in the driver's seat from that position. What have you seen from him and Uzama, and how that position is going to shake out?
Yeah, I think Pat is big for Grant Calcaterra as well, because I think the Eagles like his receiving ability, but he's a 240-pound guy. He's not been the best blocker, and he's got to get, you know, nobody expects him to be George Kittle, but you want him to be able to get in front of people at times, at least make it a little bit more difficult, and if he can do that, he's going to win the tight end two job. But one of the interesting things I pay attention to is field goal protection and the wing protectors. And it was Calcaterra and CJ Uzama as the wing protectors, which indicate that they're going to be the default setting as the backup tight end. So you can define it as tight end two or tight end three, but they're both probably going to be here, and they're both probably going to be the backups. And if Grant starts to struggle with his blocking and they need some blocking, they'll probably go back to CJ. But if they want a receiver or that type of option, and remember, Kellen Moore's got a history of using two tight end packages pretty well with the receiving aspect. And if they want that, they're going to go with Calcaterra. So both are going to be involved, and that might be one of those things where they're kind of piecemeal things, depending on what they want for a particular week.
So they got some flexibility there. We'll see how that shakes out. Johnny Mack, last question before I let you get out of here. John's on his way down to NovaCare, everybody, to talk to Nick Sirianni coming up at 9:40 and then practice at 10 a.m. today. This is the last we'll hear from John today, as he has some personal things to handle later. So, John, we appreciate you being here. John, let's talk wide receiver three. It was a big debate coming into camp on should the Eagles get somebody. They're light at the position. Paris Campbell, John Ross has stepped up a little bit. And then Britton Covey. What have you seen so far from the wide receiver three position? And are you seeing any one player emerge as the likely candidate to be that guy?
No, that's going to be a work in progress, to the point, you know, if and how we kind of alluded to this when he talked before camp began, that they're going to be looking at that on a daily basis. And that's a position they might even go outside the organization. There's been some positives for Paris Campbell, John Ross. Of the guys here, they're the heavy favorites to win that job. Britton Covey had a tremendous practice on Saturday. I just don't think they're going to give him the opportunity because his size limitations. And Kellen Moore kind of talked about that. You look at A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, their ability to toggle back and forth between all three receiver positions, X, Z, flex. Well, if they're in the slot, that means the typical slot corner's got to play outside, at least on occasion, and all that vice versa, they got to move around. I think they're more comfortable finding a receiver like that, whether it's Paris John Ross in-house or whether they go out of house and get somebody if things aren't unfolding the way they like.
Yeah, so we'll continue to monitor that position as well. But overall, a lot of good stuff coming out of camp. John, we appreciate your work. Get down there safely. Enjoy the practice today. John, I'm going to shoot you a text that when practice ends, I'm going to be doing part two of Birds 365 without you at noon today. So I'd like to hear from you in text what stood out to you. So I will definitely reach out to you, and hopefully you have some time to get back to me. But other than that, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the show. All right, brother?
All right, thanks, Sand. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Johnny Mac. There's Johnny Mac joining live, everybody, on his way down to the NovaCare Complex. So we appreciate John McMullen joining there. He is a busy man working hard for us, and we appreciate his work, as always, as he continues to dive into the camp and consume it. He's our eyes and our ears, as I mentioned, and he is one of the best. I'm very happy to have John McMullen here on Jacob. So we appreciate him. Guys, I'm going to take a commercial break here. We're going to come back. I got about 18 minutes left to go in the show, so we're going to take a commercial break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to go to the chat, and I'm going to talk to you guys for a little bit. I want to hear what's on your mind. What is sticking out to you? What do you want to know about? Because at the end of the day, I'm making content for you guys, and I love talking football with you guys, so I want to know what's on your mind so that I can continue to talk to John and talk to Dan and bring content around those people so that you guys are up to date on what you want to hear. So appreciate you all being here. Everybody in the chat has been great as always. We appreciate all you guys, man. You guys are the absolute best. I look around at all channels on YouTube. Our chat is the best on YouTube, no doubt about it. So we appreciate you guys. We're going to come back and we'll wrap up this first part one edition of Birds 365. Reminder, noon today, I'll be doing a follow-up of practice. So make sure you're here at 12 o'clock noon today, Eastern time, where we will recap what went on in day four of practice. Thanks everybody for being here. Stay tuned. Birds 365. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Is the best vacation one that you find or one you get lost in? One that takes you to new heights or reminds you to go with the flow, to get your feet wet and your wheels spinning? One that lets you find your own rhythm or get carried away? Find the best of yourself. Get lost in the woods. Plan your stay in the Wildwoods today.
Win and save this baseball season from Colony Pools and Power Washing, a local company serving Delaware, Delco, and Chester County since 1970. Are you tired of looking at your greenhouse? Is your roof, siding, deck stained green from algae and mold? Let the experts pressure wash your home and take the pressure off of you. Win with Colony Pools and Power Washing. Call them now at 302-762-2250. That's 302-762-2250.
Go passionately, go fearlessly, go confidently.
Go first!
Go confidently towards your goals with First Trust, Philly's hometown bank for nearly 90 years, and the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles. We're focused on getting you over the goal line. So go with conviction, go with trust.
Go first!
And go forward with us by your side. First Trust Bank, the official bank of Philadelphia dreams. Oh, and go Birds.
The greatest fans on earth. It's a bold statement, but would you expect anything less from Philadelphia? 58 years of heartache creates a toughness, a grit, a resolve not found in most. Sure, our prayers were answered, but now that we've had a taste, we're looking for more. Pondley Hockey,
official partner of the Philadelphia Eagles.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a special edition of Birds 365 here on a Monday morning. John McClellan working hard down at NovaCare Complex, so I don't have him with me for the full show today. Just doing an hour this morning, calling it part one, and then part two of Birds 365 coming up at noon today, and we will discuss what went on at practice. Like I said, I'll reach out to John. I did just get text confirmation. He'll be able to call me and give me some of the updates of what he sees at practice today. Nick Sirianni's coming up at 9:40. He'll talk to him. And then practice at 10 a.m. again. So we will see what we learned from day four. It's been a lot of positive coming out of camp. Hopefully the defense continues to take strides forward, but it's been all offense, and the offense has looked good. Jalen Hurts has looked good. Even the Kellen Moore comment, by the way. Let me see if I can find that really quickly because I want to say it exactly as he said it. 1 second. I think I'll have it. Yeah, he says, "You can just tell he's in command. He's in control." And that's Kellen Moore talking about QB1, Jalen Hurts. So, look, coming off of last year, that's exactly what you want to hear. It's a new offense for him, a lot of new terminology, whatever, however you want to phrase it. We go as far as Jalen takes us, everybody. So when he looks good, the team looks good, and that's a good thing. Let's go to the chat. I want to go to some of the chats here in the comments. Appreciate everybody, by the way. Christopher Baker, what's up, Christopher? Appreciate being here, brother. He says, "DT seems thin to me. We used to have a rotation of five." I'm with you, Baker. I've been saying this. And, you know, remember, you have two young guys there, right? Like, it's one thing to have Fletcher Cox and have a smaller rotation and guys that have been in the league that long. These are young guys that have never played 700-plus snaps in their career. Do we have enough? We have Milton Williams. You have Moore Ojomo and Marlon Tuipulotu, I guess, after them. So that's your five. But what is Moro Ojomo? What is Marlon Tuipulotu? We don't know anything about. I mean, we know a little bit. We've seen them in very small sample sizes, but you're right. I have been on the train of, if they wanted to go and make a signing similar to like we did with Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph, I would be completely on board with that. That would make a lot of sense to me. But we'll see what they end up doing with that. Twiz the Jig is in here talking about Paris Campbell. What up, Twiz? Appreciate you being here, brother. As always, one of our best supporters here on Jacob. Twiz the Jigga says, "Paris has a good connection with Hurts. Why would we need to get someone different?" I think he's talking about the wide receiver three there and if we would need to go outside the locker room to get somebody. I'm with you on this, Twiz. Here's the other, just to be a contrarian to your point, here's the other thing I would say. Maybe you could view it like this. When you have a team like this who has the type of aspirations and the type of potential, you know, to go to the Super Bowl, I think when you look at this roster, we could all agree that this is, doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl, doesn't mean they're going to go, but they have that type of upside. They're not a rebuilding team. They are right here. They're ready to win. And when you think about it, you don't want to hold on to a fourth round draft pick or something. And then if you lose AJ or Devontae, God forbid, we hope that doesn't happen, but it is football, right? Like if you lose one of those guys, and then you have your season riding on, you know, Paris Campbell or John Ross, you could argue it's almost like a backup quarterback, right? Like, we hope they never play, but I'd rather be better equipped, you know, if something were to happen to the first guy, so that you can continue to fight and continue to win games and continue to have a chance to win the Super Bowl. So from that perspective, I could maybe see why they would go outside the room, but you're right. I mean, wide receiver three, how many? There's only one football. Like, I don't need you to be a 1,000-yard guy. I just need you to catch it when it's thrown to you the 30 or 40 or 50 times it's thrown to you in the season. So you're right about that. And I feel okay about Paris Campbell, but, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how that plays out. Dank Bird Gang checks in. Bond, probably the best cover linebacker. Yeah, he's that versatile guy, Dank, that Vic Fangio likes. Now, Devin White's pretty good in coverage, I think, too, because of his athleticism. And you hear John talking about these wheel routes, right? Saquon will run a wheel route, and Devin White is stride for stride with him. I mean, that's pretty crazy athleticism from a guy of his size. So we'll see, you know, exactly how much, you know, that plays into the factor. But to your point, Bond, you're right. The Bond probably is the best cover linebacker. We'll see what they end up doing there. Twiz says, some people be playing Madden too much. Only one ball. We need Paris to catch the we need Paris to catch the ball when he's called upon. Agreed, Twiz. So no doubt about that. We'll see what they end up doing at that position. Let me keep continuing the comments here. I'm not as good at reading the comments as Big Sills, everybody. I'm trying to find the ones that are worth it. Bruce Banner, what's up, Bruce? Appreciate you being here, brother. What's the deal with Cam Hayward? Was it all bullshit? I don't know if it was all bullshit. I just don't think there's any merit to it. You know, a lot of people, and John will be the first to tell you this, a lot of people who, you know, they just write that we're connected to every free agent because it's a headline and they can get clicks on it. And I'm not knocking the business, but you don't really know. Like, we don't have any verified source who's like, Eagles are in talks with Cam Hayward. People are just speculating that we are one of the teams connected to his agent. Like, we don't know that. I mean, we'll see. You know, it might make sense because, like I said, we could use some more defensive tackle depth, but he's 35 years old, so I'm not sure how he's beating down his door. We'll see what he ends up doing. Callie, baby, I didn't even see you, Callie. What's up, brother? Appreciate you being here. J1 got me excited for what's to come this year. No doubt about it, Callie. Apparently, Jalen Hurts has looked very, very sharp in camp, and that's great to hear. Crowley checking in. I need Hurts to keep proving me wrong. I love it. Crowley, I'm not sure if you're not in on Jalen, and that's what you're saying, proving you wrong. But look, you're entitled to that because, Crowley, as a fan of the Eagles, we have high expectations, and we've always had as a fan base, and we've always wanted our guys to be the best. And even when they play great but not good enough, we knock them and we get pissed. And that's just Philly. So based on what we saw last year, a guy that just got the big contract coming off the Super Bowl year, you know, Hurts didn't have a bad year, but you're right. We wanted to see better. We wanted to see him, you know, handle the moment better. And I think it's fair to want that as an Eagle fan. So if that's what you're referring to, I think Hurts will continue to prove you wrong, and that's a good thing. So we'll see how that all plays out. Eduardo says, I hate how everybody is saying we're connected to everyone and their mothers. Yeah, well, this is Philly, Eduardo. So we have the most dominant media corporations in the entire NFL, where we dominate headlines. And you know what? It's not because of the media companies. It's not because of the headline. It's because of you guys. Our fan base is the best fan base in the NFL. So they know when they attach the Eagles to something, good or bad, there's a lot of reaction that comes from that. So in a way, they're kind of trying to play the fiddle. But look, we have the best fan base in the NFL. I truly believe that, not just because I'm a Philly person. When you look around, there's a lot of great fan bases and a lot of great fans across the country, but nobody cares like we do. Like, this is our life. This is, we care about. I was just down the shore at my girlfriend's place this weekend. Like, everybody, like, there was an Eagles parade in the middle of July. I'm like, everybody really cares about this football team. And that's what separates us, you know, that's what separates us, you know, our fan base, you know. So we'll see, look, how the season goes. I think you're right, though. I think everybody ties us to everybody because we have a big fan base. Big Trag, what's up, Big Trag? He checks in. He says, man, I still wouldn't mind Jay Simmons on this team. Here's the problem with that, Big Trag. I appreciate the comment. I appreciate you being here, brother. Here's the problem, I'd say, with Jay Simmons, and this is coming from my talks with John McMullen and just, you know, how they're viewing the safety position. The only spot on defense so far in training camp where there's been no rotation on the starters has been safety. They like CJ GJ, and they like Reed Blankenship more than many of us do. And they are comfortable with him at that position. So my point in saying that is, if you bring in Justin Simmons, he is going to be a starter-only type of guy, which means you're going to have to put one of the other two, which is going to be Reed Blankenship. Let's be real. They're not putting Gardner Johnson on the bench, moving him to the depth position. And I don't think they want to do that. And then the other element is, if Simmons doesn't start, he has to contribute on special teams. 30-year-old, 31-year-old Justin Simmons is not going to be that guy. So it's kind of a tough situation there at safety. I don't think they're going to go down that road, but we'll see. I appreciate the thought, though, for you checking in. That's pretty cool of you. Smile and be happy. I haven't seen you in a while, buddy. What's up? Thanks for being here. He says, Blankenship ahead of Sidney Brown long term. Tough to go there yet, Smile, but they did give Blankenship. They picked up that extra year of his contract, which is next year. So he's going to be here for the next two seasons. Sidney Brown showed a lot of promise last year, but he is coming off that big injury. So we'll kind of see how he bounces back. But I don't know. I would honestly lean yes. I mean, we'll see about Sidney, but I think Ed Reed Blankenship, as Twisted Jacob calls him in the chat, I think he's showed more so far, so we'll see how it plays out. Gary Troxler, I like that name. Gary Troxler Jr. checks in. Gary, what's up, brother? Gary with two R's. You're the second guy I've ever met who spells Gary like that. The other one is Gary Cobb, former Eagle, former linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, who we have on the shows all the time. Might have him on the National Football Show today at 4:30. So Gary with two R's, we appreciate it, brother. He says, I'm confident and hopeful about QB1, the offense. D-line will be okay. I'm concerned about the back end. What's the word on our DBs? Well, Gary, if you're just checking in, we just had John on. John McMullen, our Eagles reporter, who's down there at practice, he kind of broke down what's going on at DB. You're right. It's the one position right now where they're still trying to figure stuff out. The good news is they have a lot of bodies, a lot of guys who are showing some promise. Quinyon Mitchell, our first-round draft pick, has looked amazing in camp so far. They're putting him all over right corner, left corner, slot corner. He's handling everything really well. So hopefully he continues to get better, and hopefully – you know, the DBs step up. I think you're right, though. That is the one spot on defense where you're like, okay, are they going to be good? Are they not going to be good? Are they going to, you know, are they going to be a strength? Are they going to be a weakness? So we'll see, you know, how that plays out. Twiz the Jigga says, Eagles and Bills got to be the best fan bases. Yeah, but we're bigger. That's the difference, right? The Bills have a great fan base, but we're Philly. I don't know if you've ever been to Buffalo. Buffalo is no Philly. So we are much bigger. And strength in numbers, Twiz. We are a bigger and stronger and more powerful fan base. But you're right. I respect the Bills fan base, but nothing like Philly, baby. Let me continue to go through the comments here. A lot of good stuff. You guys are great. I appreciate you all being here. Jeffrey says, I think we need a veteran defensive end. What do you think? I don't know, Jeffrey. Where would you put him? I mean, we already have Brandon Graham. You have Josh Sweat, who could argue is a veteran with how many years he's played in the league. You have Bryce Huff. You have Nolan Smith, who, you know, I hope it can be something this year. We'll see how it pans out with him. But I don't see it in the rotation unless you want to split the reps with Brandon Graham or just add somebody more on the back end. Maybe. I mean, I think if you said I want to make a splash at defensive end, I would almost go for that more than a veteran because, like, I wanted Brian Burns. I got to be honest with you guys. Like, I felt great about the edge rusher position when we signed Bryce Huff and we still had Hassan Reddick on the field. I'm like, if we keep both these guys, we're in great shape. We're going to get after the quarterback. They obviously moved on from Hassan. So you could argue we're a little light at that position, but we'll see, you know, how it works. Saquad's hilarious, dude. Appreciate you, brother, for being here. Such a good supporter of ours. He says Stevie Wonder could call a better defense than what we had last season. That's a bold comment there, but we appreciate the comments, Saquads, no doubt about it. Almost only 2 minutes left here, guys, before I wrap up. Nick Sirianni's coming up at 9:40 a.m., excuse me. Practice at 10 a.m., and then I'm going to go live again at noon. I'll get the update from John on what went down at camp today, so we will talk about that later on at noon. Decoy Gaming says, when does camp start today? 10. Yeah, practice at 10, brother. Nick Sirianni speaks right beforehand around 9:40. So we'll see. We will continue to follow all, you know, everything all day long. And then National Football Show, obviously, at 2 o'clock today with Dan Cilio. We'll see how that works. Dill Locke says, what if we get Reddick back? I don't think that's happening, Dill. I know they haven't worked it out with him, but I don't see that happening. But boy, would that be pretty insane if Howie made that type of move. Saquads, 2 minutes is all I need. TMI, brother. Come on, man. smile and be happy. Brazil, here I come. James Jones. James Jones, everybody. For those who don't know James Jones in the comments, he is our resident Commander fan. Let's just take a 5-second moment of silence for James Jones. The Commanders haven't won a playoff game in 20-plus years. James Jones, I'm sorry, brother. I know you're here because the Philadelphia Eagles, you are living through our fans. You are living through our success. I feel for your brother. I'm sorry that you are a fan of the Washington Commanders. They stink. They stink out loud. And I'm sorry, but I appreciate you being here, brother. We gave you a 5-second moment of silence. I hope you appreciated that. James is a great supporter of ours, so we appreciate that. Eduardo says, a resident Commode fan. Why did they get rid of the name? Why? Can someone explain to me why they got rid of the name, the Redskins? Is it because they didn't like the previous owner? Is it because I've seen people who the name is actually about, and they're like, I didn't feel disrespected by the name at all. In a way, I felt honored, and they changed the name to some crappy name. First, it was the football team. What an atrocious name that was. And then you go to the Commanders. It's ridiculous. It sounds terrible. You know what? But it's kind of fitting for the Washington team. So, but anyway, James, appreciate you being here, brother. Hope I didn't pick on you too bad, man. I appreciate you being here. He's one of our best viewers and a supporter of the channel. So I appreciate anybody that supports this channel. I don't care who you're a fan of. We appreciate you being here. Anyway, that's going to wrap up this first part one edition of Birds 365, everybody. I'm coming live again at noon today. So I expect all you guys, Twiz and Dank and James Carver, Lou, Mike Fittery, Eduardo Reza, Saquad, Bruce Banner. I want you guys to be here at noon if you're able to. We appreciate the viewership. It's going to be me alone, and I'm going to talk to John about what goes on at camp today. So we will break it all down. I'd love to have some conversation with you guys as well, what you guys made of the camp day. So appreciate you guys being here. That's going to do it. Make sure you guys hit the like button, as it's the best thing you can do to help our channel grow outside of any super chats and stuff like that. Memberships are obviously huge. So if you support the channel and you want to support us further, a membership would be much appreciated. We appreciate when you guys are members of the channel. I'm going to add some more emojis in there and stuff. So appreciate all that. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I will catch you at noon today on Birds 365 Part 2. Appreciate you being here.
You've been listening to Birds 365, the destination for the passionate Eagles football fan who bleeds green. If it's Eagles football, we're talking about it. Debate inside the locker room and guests that are some of the greatest football minds from around the region. We hope you enjoyed the show. We know we had a blast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Jacob Sports. See you next time on Birds 365.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big.